Yeah, we've got a blue light. I like to do sermons that are real to people and it helps them hopefully on the ground. There's a place to do doctrinal sermons and theological sermons, and there's a place to do real practical ones, and this is a real practical one. Throughout your life and throughout my life this far, I have asked this question several times, and so have you. Is it really worth it? True? And we ask it in any number of ways. We ask it maybe if we are working really hard and getting little return for it. If there's a relationship and, dare I say, it is not delivering what people want, they ask the question. And if they don't ask it verbally, they'll think it in their mind. Is it really worth it? True? And that's the answer to that will be based on the value. We want to know what's in it for me. Is it worth the effort? Would it be worth the return? Or is it something I just need to say thank you, but no thank you? That's not worth it. Businessmen will look and see if the margin is big enough to make a profit. And if it isn't, they'll say, oh, it's not worth my while. People who are maybe vying up for a job, maybe a builder who comes and sees a job, he's going to be asking the question, is this worth my time? Is it really worth doing? People do that in terms of applying for jobs. This is the job. I wonder, is it really worth it? In studying, as people go through college, they ask the question, is it really worth it when they're getting bogged down, maybe with having to do exams? A man this morning, it's a long time ago since he did this, asked this question. And he was really asking it. And he said, yes, it is worth it. And it's his reply we want to look at. Two verses only in Hebrews 11. I'm going to put them up on the screen for you as well. So Hebrews 11, 22-24 says this. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. Not many of you get the chance of associating with royalty and with all the privileges that it brings. And with royalty comes power, prestige, wealth, influence. You can live a very, very comfortable life in royalty. Moses grew up in royalty, but now he was a man. And he had a decision to make. Would he stay where he was and live as one of the Pharaoh's sons? Egypt at the time was a superpower. He would have the best of food, the best possible life you could have on earth at that time. The best resources were available to him. He could have all the trappings of what it would mean to live as the son of the Pharaoh. Who would be mad enough to give that up or even consider to give it up? So Moses must have asked that question somewhere along the way. Is it worth it? Would you agree? I think that's a fair assumption. He must have asked that. Now we know how he decided in a minute, but there were several options open to him that are open to us. The title of my sermon, of course, is By Faith. And that's where it begins with verse 24. It was by faith. But by faith is only one option. There are several others. Let's see if I put them up here. So we have other options that we choose to answer the question, is it really worth it? All right? Faith is only one option. Here's another option, a very popular one, I think. Okay? Is it worth it? We answer that question simply by saying it, only if it works best for me. How often have you heard people saying that? Is it worth it? And how people answer that is, only if it works best for me. That is one option. And you hear that, don't you? If you say, it's not worth my while. It's not worth the effort. Only if it works best for me. That's one option. That was what Moses had to consider. On either side, actually. On either side. Another option he had, and that we have too, is, will it advance my career? Will it get me the promotion? Will it get me the raise? Will it move me forward? So when people are evaluating, that is a very important criteria that they will evaluate on. What works best for me, but will it advance my career? Very true option, very real option, isn't it? Another option that's available to Moses and indeed to us, will it make me more money? I shouldn't have put in what, I should let that out. Will it make me more money? Will it give me more riches? That's a real important one for people. A job, a promotion comes up in work, the first thing they're going to ask is, I wonder how much of a raise am I going to get? Is that true? That's an option for Moses. Well, what works best for me? Will going over to the other side advance my career? Actually, it won't. Will it make him more money? If he goes over to the people of Israel, he will lose. But they're all important things. Another one that is really down to earth one, right? This one is the clincher for most people. Not all, but for most, right? Is it really worth it? And this is how they will evaluate it. They'll go for what is the least inconvenient for them. You're not far away from what works best for me with that. No, that's the truth. Christian or non-Christian, everyone will evaluate and everyone will answer the question is it really worth it? And based on the values they put on something, career advancement, more money, you know, less inconvenient, and not as much hassle or grief to go with it. All those are deciding factors. Would you agree that people make up their mind in answering the question, is it really worth it? Christian or non-Christian? Back to Moses. How did he choose to go the way he did? Because in going the way he did, it would make him poorer, he would lose his influence, he would be his career advancement would be over, forget about it. And indeed, there would be a price on his head. So, and it wasn't convenient, it was nothing but hassle. He would spend 40 years in the back end of nowhere minding sheep, and he spent another 40 years trying to get lads into the promised land. And he got into the age, lost the cool, and could go no further. Joshua had to come in afterwards and take over the situation. So how did he get to that thing? The writer in Hebrews tells us it was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. There was something in him, and he had a decision to make in terms of his identity and how that would shape his life and his future. You know, many people's identity is tied up with their education, with their financial resources, where they live, what they drive, what they do. And if you ask them the question, everything will be, is it really worth it? It will all depend if it ties into those things for me. Moses was going to downgrade. And the first thing he had to do was let go of his identity and his privileges that he had as an adopted son of the Pharaoh. He refused to be recognized as the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. In other words, he was walking away from that identity. And he did by faith. It was a decision of faith. So first of all, there was a refusal to keep going as he went. Next thing he did, 25, he chose to share the oppression of God's people. Now, who in their right mind would do that? It was a choice. He saw the people who he really identified with. He just happened to be rescued out of a basket and brought to the palace, and he grew up there. But when he became a man and he saw the oppression around him, he was outside and he said, these actually are really are my people. Here I am over here in a privileged lifestyle. I can have all this. I can just say, that's their problem, and just get on with my own life. That's not for me to deal with. But that's not the way he did it. His decision was based on faith. And then he chose to share the oppression of God's people. And instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. See, Moses could really have lived it up for all of his life. He could have the very best life. He would be like a celebrity today, a major celebrity. He'd have no shortage of suitors. He'd have all the comforts, all the riches. He'd have everything. And yet he chose to be identified with a group of people who were actually slaves. And it says that part of his mindset was, instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin, there was something about his perspective that he saw that helped him. I think maybe he saw the brevity of life. On one side, he just saw is, oh yes, there's pleasure in all of this, but at the end of the day, it's merely fleeting. And you get old, and what have you got left then? But in all of that too, he was conscious of God. And obviously, there was a call on his life. So he refused to be identified as Pharaoh's daughter. Then he chose the oppression, to share the oppression of God's people. Not many people will do that, will they? Christian or non-Christian. People want to upgrade if they can. Nobody votes to be downgraded. But that's what he did, and he did it by faith. Okay. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt. The materialism that was put in front of him and the consumerism that was available to him was vast. And he thought it was better to suffer. How many people say, if they were offered a job of 300,000 a year, company car, 6 weeks holidays, and a very good pension plan? The person says, no, I won't take that. I want to be seen as somebody who is just, think of a very low paid job, apart from a pastor. Something that is very, very low paid, minimum wage job. So you're gone from 300,000, you have 300,000 there every year, but it'd be more than that. And you go for a minimum wage job and a push bike. Who would do that? If you did it, they would call you mad, first of all, wouldn't they? But this was a step of faith. And it says that part of the thinking was, he knew that the pleasures of life were short, and indeed the pleasures of sin. But he also knew there was something better in the long term. So he had a long-term perspective on things, which most people, by the way, don't have. Because he said he thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt. We know the philosophy is, you know, eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow you die. Moses was, actually, I am going to invest today for the future that is down the road, that is in eternity. He said no to the fleeting pleasures, but he was saying yes to looking ahead to the great reward. Let me ask you a question. Are you investing in heaven? People invest in earth, you know, they may make a few bob and they save, or they'll do different things. Are you actually investing in heaven? Because that's what Moses was doing. The reason why he gave up the big job, the money, the prestige, the power, and take on an awful lot of hassle. A thankless job, by the way. And nothing but grief. Grief from the Pharaoh on one side, and then grief from his own crowd on the other, and then ended up with trouble with God at the end. But he was a tremendous leader. He brought a whole nation out of slavery. And he said, I did it because the pleasures of sin were fleeting. And by the way, he said, I'm doing it because there's a great reward in it for me at the very end. You see, that's a tremendous incentive, isn't it? We're all motivated by what's in it for me. You know what was in it for him? A reward. Am I hoping to have rewards in heaven? I am. And if I haven't, I've completely wasted my life. This and the next one. Completely mucked it up. There are rewards for faithfulness apart from the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God. It's an add-on that he gives to us. Salvation is completely his gift. But to identify with his people and to be called to do his work, whatever that looks like, and say no to certain things, will bring a reward. And that will actually matter. That was the motivation behind it. You'll only say yes to that if you have a long-term perspective. If you're living for the here and now and let the eternity take care of itself, you're going to say no to a lot of stuff that could potentially bring you a reward in the eyes of God. Jesus talked about riches in heaven that are stored up there, where nor a moth nor rust can take them, nor can inflation. So there is a reward for faithfulness. Let me ask a question. What would a reward look like for you? I know some Christians are so godly, the reward itself is Jesus. And certainly that is a reward, there's no question about it. And intimacy with him. But I think there's even more than that. I genuinely do. I think there'll be the reward and the pleasure of knowing that we did what we were called to do. That we said yes to what was important to him, even if it meant saying no to other things. But you can only do that by answering the question, is it really worth it? And you'll only say yes to God only by faith, because by logic, it makes no sense. Moses died on top of a mountain. But do you know what he got along the route? He was able to speak to God, man to man. Before that, nobody else had done that to that level. He was able to speak. One day, God asked him, Moses, what would you like? And he said, I want to know you better. That's a paraphrase. But ultimately, he said, I want to know your ways. And yet, he faced God face to face. It was through Moses the Ten Commandments came in. It was through Moses lifting up the rod that he saved the whole nation from getting drawn on one side and hammered by the Egyptians on the other. He had all that thing of following God, but that wasn't what he was looking forward to. It was coming after, when he died, highly esteemed. Before Jesus went to the cross, Moses and Elijah appeared to him. That's some reward, isn't it? That you're there encouraging Jesus to do what only he can do. So by faith, the world will say you're absolutely mad to let go of prestige, of power, of wealth, of chance. You want to come around once. What Moses is saying to us, actually, you need to think very carefully about what you have. Though it may give great pleasure, it is fleeting. And in saying yes to that, you can miss out on what God would have had for you. And isn't it interesting? What God had for Moses was freeing an oppressed people. And in order to free them, he had to identify with them, he had to live with them, and then he had to follow God's direction and God's instructions in bringing them out. But he did it. And was it worth it? It most certainly was. Even the writer in Hebrews is saying it was a great reward for him. By faith, and we could look here this morning and say there's only a handful of us. We stay open by faith, not by logic, because we still believe that the Lord can do something with us. The great reward for us will be survival, but... But for now, there is a reward in seeking and in doing the things of God. Here, there can be a reward for it. And certainly there will be a reward in heaven. Which brings me to my last point. If not by faith, then it's by what? When the question comes to you and the choices are given to you and you have to answer the question, is it really worth it? Then if you don't answer that question by faith, in other words, Lord, what is it you would have me do? Then if that's not the way you're going, then it's going to be either by power, by prestige, by convenience, by promotion, by any number of things. You can only move as Moses moved, by faith. And that is trust in that the Lord is in it, that he has a plan, that he has a purpose, and that in some way you are part of that purpose. And when it'll be all over, it will be worth it. And there will be a reward in it. And that reward will be given by God. I keep asking Jesus for a raise. Lord, any hope of a raise, you know? And there were times he just laughs at me. But we do what we do by faith. And that is, we're trusting that the Lord is in it and the Lord is with us and that the Lord's will be done. That's why I had us sing the songs, All to Him. All to Jesus, I surrender all. Do you know what Jesus said after he had died, that he would bring all these people with him? You know what his reward is? Us. We are part of Jesus' reward. He's bringing you a whole bunch of rebels, lads all over the gaff, pull them out of darkness and pulling more out all the time, may I say, and putting them into his kingdom because he loves them. That was his work. He did it by faith as well. So, is it worth it? You can only say yes to God if you believe and you trust him. And you're willing to go through the suffering, the oppression, the hassle, the inconvenience. And you may only still get a glimpse at what you've achieved from a mountaintop before you're taken out of here. But when it'll be all said and done, it will be worth it. That is what you do by faith. That's how I have lived my life for the most part. Not perfect in any ways, but it's better to do what the Lord asked to do and do it by faith than looking for all the other stuff, because it's fleeting at the end of the day. That's what the Lord gave me. Lord, help us, Lord, in those decisions. Some decisions, Lord, are fairly handy, but Lord, some are life-changing. Lord, it is easy to miss what you'd have for us because of tantalizing offers that come. Oh, Lord, because of our own twisted evaluation, Lord, not seeing the big picture. Lord, many people have missed, Lord, what was for them because, Lord, they didn't choose by faith. Lord, let it not be said of us that as we move, as we evaluate, as we say yes, Lord, let it be by faith in you. And Lord, whatever it costs, but Lord, we know at the end there will be a reward in us. For that, Lord, we pray, give us faith, Lord, to press on so that we can achieve what it is we're called to. And all of God's people said, Amen.